In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you, Jesus said. He said that to his disciples who were in lockdown behind closed doors, partly out of prudence, partly out of fear. It was dangerous to go outside and be among their neighbors. Does that sound familiar? The danger in their case was not because of infection, but because of persecution. The Pharisees and other Jewish leaders considered the disciples the dangerous ones because of their close contact with Jesus' dangerous preaching. The disciples expected the same kind of treatment from those leaders as those leaders had shown to Jesus. Groundless arrest, public humiliation and beating, unjust condemnation, and death. As we heard from our first reading from Acts, those were exactly the kinds of things that happened to them as they carried on Jesus' preaching. So they were right to be prudent. There is a time and a place for prudence. But there was no place for fear among them. Jesus will not allow any place for fear among them. Now, I don't want you to hear that as a law statement here, that Christians shouldn't ever be afraid, and so you need to screw up your courage and run out to take all your hits right on the chin, or else you're not a real Christian. No, that's very me-focused, very prideful, a kind of self-righteousness trying to prove your great faithfulness, and that's headed in the wrong direction. Rather, hear it this way. Jesus knows your fears. Jesus knows your concerns. He knows the weakness of your flesh and the weakness of your faith. Jesus knows how the devil uses the trials that you endure in this world to suffocate your faith in an attempt to destroy that faith and drive you away from God and the life that he gives. So in his love, Jesus will not leave you alone. He will not let fear eat away at you until there's no hope left. Jesus will not allow any place for fear among us to destroy us. And so he comes to us. He doesn't come to scold us because our fears are unfounded and insignificant. He comes to us and preaches that pure gospel truth that he has overcome the source of all of our fears. He casts out our fear by coming right among us to deliver us his peace. Are we afraid that the trials we Christians face are God's punishment and condemnation? Jesus has taken that punishment for all of our sin into himself on the cross. He was condemned for our sin so that our sin would be forgiven. And since that sin is forgiven, there's nothing left to punish you for. So fear not. Peace be with you. Are we afraid of suffering? Jesus has redeemed our suffering with his own. His suffering transforms our own. Since our sins are forgiven, the trials we endure now are not punitive punishment, but the loving chastisement of our God, who has now made himself our Father in Christ. He is a Father that we can only expect good from. A Father who hears our prayers and answers them. A Father who gives us what we need at the right time, which is not always what we want. He uses our trials to shake us out of our complacency in this world, so that we instead live for the world to come. He teaches us that in this world and its ways will only ever end in disappointment and death. Only God can truly satisfy us. Only God can truly save us. His ways are better. His promises are better. His life is better, the best. He freely gives that good to you in Jesus. Your loving Father will not let you suffer forever. After the pain comes healing. After grief comes joy. After death comes resurrection, and then only life and good forever. Jesus' cross and empty tomb guarantee it. So no matter what your circumstances, fear not. Peace be with you. Those are the kinds of fears those first disciples faced. Fear of suffering in the world, fear of condemnation by God because they had formally abandoned Jesus, fear of death. But Jesus comes to them in their fears. He really and truly, actually, factually comes to them and speaks peace directly to them. That's why he showed them his hands and his side too, proving that peace was won with the now healed scars of his deadly crucifixion. These are the kinds of fears that we have in our suffering and in our sin. That's why Jesus put this word of peace into the mouths of his apostles, into the mouth of his church, into the mouth of his pastors. He breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus made that promise. Jesus gave his church that authority over sin so that you could hear Jesus speak directly in your fears, "I forgive you all your sins. Peace be with you." Now that is really Jesus speaking, even if he's using the pastor's voice. Jesus really, truly, actually, factually comes to you individually to speak his peace directly to you. The peace that comes from his forgiveness. Now that word forgiveness only means something. It only does something if Jesus is actually alive after having died to atone for our sin. That's why Thomas insisted on seeing the wounds of Jesus. Jesus can't be just like he was on Maundy Thursday morning. In order for Jesus to save us, in order for Jesus to win our forgiveness, to win our peace, he has to have died before rising again. The church's faith and hope are not just in Jesus' teaching as a way of life, but in Jesus' death to give us life, his life, and so his peace. Our faith needs to hear that forgiveness of sins again and again so that we can endure in that faith to the end. We need to hear that forgiveness because the sin that you see in your life day after day, sin that Jesus has already died for, can erode away your trust in that necessary forgiveness Jesus won for you. It can either drive you to despair or to complacency. Despair, because your sins start to seem so big or so many that they couldn't possibly be forgiven, and so you lose faith in what Jesus' cross actually did for you. Or complacency, in that those sins that you commit often start to not seem so bad after all. They don't really need forgiving. I don't really need forgiving. I don't really need Jesus' cross all that much. At least not for this sin. And so you would hold on to that sin and push away Jesus' forgiveness of that sin. And either way, despair or complacency, your faith is eroded away. And so you need to hear again and again the word of Jesus that his cross is necessary because your sin is deadly, and that his cross is for you so that you are freed from that deadly sin. Again and again, you need to hear Jesus call you to repentance of sin and faith in his forgiveness of all of your sins. That is the only way for your faith to endure. That is the only way that you can have true peace. His peace. This proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins through Christ crucified and living, that must be the absolute foundation and focus, the purpose and center of everything that we do as the church, everything that we do at Zion,
so that we and our children would be sustained in faith to the resurrection. That's why we come together to hear God's word and receive his sacraments. That's why we stay in the word throughout the week at home, that word that is written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why fathers and mothers bring their children to baptism. Why fathers and mothers catechize their children in faith. That's why we care for one another as a church, encouraging one another's faith, calling each other back to repentance as necessary, and helping keep each other focused on the life of the world to come, that life that's already ours in Jesus. That's why we help each other in times of suffering or need, those times that could lead to faith-eroding sin. That's why we live in our vocations, serving our spouses and our families and our neighbors in love, always, always, always speaking Jesus' word of life, and then in faith living that life that the word gives. Now, if we as a church insist on offering anything else but God's word of Jesus crucified and living for us, Jesus alive and coming to us in his word and sacraments, if we try to offer anything else than that which Christ gives us, we will fail. We will fail. Just like the movements of Theudas or Judas the Galilean that Gamaliel was talking about in the book of Acts. The church will fail because we will no longer be the church. We'd be just a social club or a community center or an activist group of one stripe or another. Just another worldly venture that would end in disappointment. Proclaiming the forgiveness of sins in Christ crucified and risen is what makes the church the church. We have no voice apart from what Jesus, our head, speaks. We have no peace to give in this world except the peace Jesus gives. Now, none of this word of peace stays behind closed doors. I mean, how can it? The word of peace which Jesus gives reaches into every aspect of our lives. Christianity can never just be a private spirituality. Because now, having been given this peace ourselves, Jesus sends us out to carry that peace out into the world. The peace that comes through repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Peace be with you, he said. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. He's sending us out through those closed doors into the same world that rejected and condemned and killed him. Why? Because he loves them too. Because he died for them too. He sends us to them so that they too may share in that same peace that his cross won for them as well. Now, to be sure, the world will reject this preaching of peace in Jesus' name, even considering that preaching dangerous. Throughout the world, the church is violently persecuted. And even in polite society, Christians are mocked and marginalized, sued and silenced because of the word that we preach and live. In every age, the world will react the same to Christ's church as it did in the days of the apostles. Peter's response today starts off with our reading from Acts. He's responding to the high priest's statement that we strictly charge you not to preach in this name. Yet here you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, yes, that's exactly what we intend to do. We will always seek to bring the atoning blood of Jesus upon you too, just as it is upon us. So that you too may live in faith of the forgiveness of all of your sins and share in Jesus' eternal peace along with us. And that right there, that is how the church obeys God rather than man. By continuing to preach the gospel of Jesus no matter our circumstance, no matter our resources, no matter our popularity or our suffering or our trials. Just as the church is right now, at this very moment. This is our foundation and our focus, our purpose and our center as Christ Church. No matter how you see the world threaten, fear not.
Peace be with you. The life and the work of Jesus cannot be undone. The preaching of this gospel is of God, so they will not be able to overthrow the church. Indeed, they find themselves opposing God himself. And they tried to destroy Jesus before. Easter morning showed that they failed. Nothing can stop Jesus from bringing us his peace. Not locked doors, no man or devil, not even death itself. For Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand.